God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is based off the epistle reading from Galatians chapter 2. Title of the message is, It's Not My Fault. But first of all, let me begin with what's missing. Picking up from the readings from last week and to this week, there's a certain story that is actually missing. It's kind of a neat account, and so let me paraphrase and possibly embellish it just to make it a little bit more meaningful for us. During the time of the Christian church, there was an interesting discussion. The discussion went like this. Could Gentiles who were not Jewish become Christians? Well, that might be kind of a silly discussion, but for the early Christians, it was a little serious. The big debate was, would they have to become Jewish first and then Christian? Well, eventually, via leading of the Holy Spirit, God gave them the answer. The answer is they could go great from being a Gentile to straight following Christ without being a Christian. So now what do you do with all these Jewish people who are now Christians? Do they have to follow all the Jewish dietary laws? The answer is no, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, as Scripture reminds us. So if you were following all the dietary laws, ham is now on the menu. So picture it this way. Peter and Paul are now in the Gentile area. Peter comes for a visit. What a good way to sort of celebrate our new freedom we have in Christ with the Lutheran tradition of a potluck dinner. Yes, there's a little embellishing here. And in the midst of that potluck dinner, of course, you're going to have ham sandwiches, and you can just sort of see Peter wanting to mingle around with the rest of the Gentiles and grabbing one of these ham sandwiches. Then all of a sudden, coming to the potluck are some good Jewish boys from Jerusalem. Paul now sort of hides the ham sandwich and starts mingling with the Jewish boys. I should say Peter was doing that. Paul now sees what's going on and now chastises Peter. And now you have somewhat the remain of that chastisement as part of today's text. Paul sort of begs the question, why should I rebuild something that was destroyed? God's grace came and offered us freedom from the law. Freedom to live without the rules, without the regulation. Why would I rebuild my slavery, so to speak? Well, the reason why we'd want to rebuild our slavery is because A, we're used to it. B, it's kind of comfortable. C, it's my sinful nature. So for us, I have to sort of ask the question, how do us as Christians living in today's world somewhat rebuild our slavery? And what am I referring to? I'm referring to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, yes, his death upon the cross, the forgiveness of our sins, freeing us, releasing us, and then we sit there and say, but I don't want it, I'd rather rebuild my slavery. So the rebuilding goes like this, it's not my fault. Have you ever used those words? Now, you may have used those words and they truly weren't, and it truly wasn't your fault. But let me go to the situation of the Old Testament. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. In this aspect of self-justification, we like to say, it's not my fault. We always like to try to push the blame on somebody else. But we have to be careful. What's going on when we push the blame onto somebody else? We actually deny our need for Christ. We put our own selves outside the need of grace. It'd be like me coming up to the cross of Jesus Christ and saying, you know, I'm not really a sinner. I really didn't have my hand in this mess. I really don't need you today. Maybe tomorrow. That sounds kind of strange. But whenever we try to deny that we had any implication in something that went wrong, we're really denying Christ. I mean, let's just realize. Did not Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? The answer is yes. So what's wrong with saying, you're right, I've made a mistake, I fess up, it's my fault. Our sinful nature usually would like us to deny our fault, because with that fault usually comes some sort of punishment, and we like to avoid any type of punishment. I will admit that may be true in the work world and our everyday lives, but when it comes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it doesn't work. The reason why is He's already paid our punishment. So to deny our sin is to deny our salvation. Christ takes away our sin. He bears our punishment. So to deny our sins is ultimately to deny our need of Christ. To admit our sins is to admit that we need Christ. So part number one, our sinful nature wants to rebuild what Christ has torn down whenever we deny our sin. We may think that part of our faith, our growth in faith, we need to realize, is to become more and more aware of the depth of our sinfulness. When we were younger, we might have thought that, you know, sin was one of the bad things we did. Forgiveness was sort of implied that we weren't punished for what bad thing that I deserved to be punished for. Since the bad things I might do weren't all that bad, at least compared to other people, you know what, we might think, I really didn't need much forgiving. Not like those other sinners out there. However, once I come to the realization that my sinfulness is much more deeper than any bad deeds, that my sinfulness actually involves inner attitudes, our desires, my motivation, when I start looking at things like that within me, now I see the cross of Jesus Christ and saying, not only do I need this, I need it every moment of my life. I am in need of that forgiveness, and I need that grace every aspect of my life. This also leads into the second reason why I like to tear down rebuild what Christ has torn down. And to sort of begin the second part, I'm going to pick up on a quote of Jonathan Swift back in 1711. He noticed this about people and the situation. He said, "We have just enough religion to hate, but not enough to make us love one another." Strong words for back then, and even truer words for today. Some of us have just received just enough grace and forgiveness to remain judgmental toward others, rather than enough to cause them to be grateful, loving, and forgiving, as God has been to us. Perhaps we just want just enough forgiveness so that we don't feel bad, but not enough to actually change our lives, to become devoted to Christ? I wonder how many, quote-unquote, religious wars, fights, skirmishes, etc., were caused by just enough religion to hate. So consider this example. Someone gave me this illustration, and it goes like this. A large African-American man had two big signs up front. One read, "Jesus Christ accepts you the way you are." The other said, "Jesus Christ will change your life." Now, both these signs are biblical. Both these signs bring the gospel message. We need both these signs. But this is where Lutherans typically fail the examination, so to speak. See, typically, Lutherans will equate the gospel only with one of those signs. Jesus will accept you as you are. Well, what about the other sign? We may say, well, that's nice that Jesus offers us change, but I really don't want to change, do I? So we just gravitate toward the one sign and we say, thank you, God, that I'm saved. We may get so excited about us being saved, we completely forget about the other sign. The other sign that says, Jesus will change your life. Now, I will admit, for some people, that other sign really brings a lot more good news. You see, since we live out in suburbia and things are going well in our lives, we just might covet that one sign and say, thank you, God, thank you for accepting me for who I am, and try to move on with life. But there are some people who are truly torn apart by their lives in this world. There are some people whose lives are really ruined and are kind of pathetic. They don't want to hear the news that Jesus just accepts them for who they are. They really want the good news that Jesus is going to improve their life. Jesus is going to change their life, to take them out of the mess of sin, of selfishness, of how they've ruined their lives, and to bring them true love and forgiveness. And they're looking for that type of good news. But now let me take this illustration and put it into our text for today. Do we really want to be changed? Is it easier for Christ just to love and forgive us, and then we can go ahead for doing what we want to do daily in our lives? Well, we have to stop for a moment and ask, who is ruling our lives? Who's really in control? Is it my sinful self? Or as verse 20 of our text says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul, that wasn't his name to begin with, you may remember. It was Saul. There was a name change for him. That change took place after his conversion, where Christ reached out to him on the road of Damascus. Paul realizes that he needs Christ and that his sins were great, but Christ's love is even greater. This radically changed Paul, that he even risked his own life because he knew that God loved him. And that love came to him, flowed through him, so he had love for other people. We also, like Paul, need Christ. We need to remind ourselves of Christ's atoning work on the cross, his love for us, even in the midst of our great sinfulness of selfishness. But we also need Christ to melt our stone-hardened hearts so that we may love and forgive others as Christ graciously loves and forgives us. It's not my fault. Our sinful nature loves those words. However, Christ within us loves different words. Christ within us loves us to look at the cross and say, there's my Savior. Christ within us wants us to take that same love and forgiveness that our Savior has for us and to look at the many people who put up various type of crosses for our own lives and say, here is love, here is forgiveness. Today, let us put down our sinful nature that says, it's not my fault. Let's put down the urge to rebuild the slavery that Christ has freed us from. He has freed us from the tyranny of sin, so let's not live in it anymore. Let's not dish it out. But instead, let's take the love, the forgiveness that comes from the cross, and share it with those around. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.